I invite you to turn to Isaiah chapter 14, verse 4. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 4. Isaiah 14, verse 4. The sermon entitled this morning is, Come Out of Her, My People. Come Out of Her, My People. Now, we've been doing a series, and it's entitled, The Mystery of Babylon Revealed. We've been learning that Babylon is really the working out of the spiritual and intellectual forces of the natural world. And both the Babylon of the old times of Nebuchadnezzar, and the Babylon in these last days of the papacy, the Roman Church, both these Babylons are the working out these forces to its uttermost. And in these last days, God is calling upon the people to clearly understand the mystery of Babylon. So we may know what Israel ought to do today, what God's people need to do. So this morning we study this mystery. May our hearts and our minds be open to the teachings of His Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we humbly ask for your presence, your Holy Spirit. We can do nothing without you. It's our humble prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, besides, we learn about Babylon. Babylon was to fall. Remember in the King Nebuchadnezzar? It was prophesied that it was going to fall. So at that time that it was prophesied to fall, what else was prophesied to fall in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 4? The Bible says here, That thou shalt take up the proverb against the king of Babylon and say, How hath the oppressor, what is that word? Ceased or fallen. So besides Babylon, who else was to fall according to the Bible? The king of Babylon. So not only Babylon is to fall, but the king of Babylon is prophesied to fall. Now, how does the Bible describe this king of Babylon? Look at your papers, the handouts here, your orange handouts. And let's look at some Bible texts here, one after the other. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 4, calls the king of Babylon the what? The oppressor. Isaiah 14, verse 6 says, He, the king, who smote the people in what? Wrath or anger with a continuous stroke. 14:6 says, He that ruled the nations in what? Anger. 14:16 says, That made the earth to what? Tremble, to shake, right? 14 verse 16 says, did shake kingdoms. We know the history about Babylon and did all these things. 14:17 says, that made the world a wilderness and destroyed the city thereof. In other words, Babylon, the king of Babylon, was not known for good qualities, right, in this Bible text here. Very wickedness. It was used by force. We learn about force and control and domination and power. That was what Babylon was known for. Now, in this description in Isaiah 14 about the king of Babylon, it describes who the king of Babylon really is behind King Nebuchadnezzar. So in the midst of Isaiah chapter 14, it talks about the king of Babylon. And who is it in verse 12 to 15? Let's see what the Bible says. Who is this king of Babylon? The Bible says, Because before 12, it talks about the king of Babylon. After 15, it talks about the king of Babylon. And the midst of this chapter, it tells who it is. The Bible says, How art thou fallen from heaven, O what? Lucifer. Son of the morning. Who is Lucifer? Satan. How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell. You will fall to the sides of the pit. In other words, the Bible describes the king of Babylon as being none other than Satan himself. Do you see that? None other than Satan himself. Now, let's look at the final Babylon. We learned that the Babylon of old, King Nebuchadnezzar, the king, the real king behind Babylon, was not Nebuchadnezzar, but Satan himself, for that's his very principles it was founded upon. What about the Babylon of today, of the Roman Church? Look at Revelation. I invite you to turn to Revelation chapter 13, verse 2. Revelation chapter 13, verse 2. Let's see what the Bible talks about the papacy and a true king behind the papacy. Revelation chapter 13, verse 2. Revelation 13, the first half is talking about Babylon. The first beast is Babylon, the papacy, the Romish church. And it says, and a beast, the papacy, which I saw was like a leopard, and the feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And a dragon gave him his power, his seat, and his great authority. What gave the power of the papacy its seat, its power, its authority? What is it that gave it? The what? The dragon. The dragon gave the power, the authority to the papacy. That's what gives us the power. Now, according to the Bible, who is the dragon? Ah. Look at your handouts here again, Revelation 12 verse 9, just for quick reference. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the what? Devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world. In other words, the king of the Babylon of Nebuchadnezzar, the true king behind it that had the spirit and the forces of Babylon, is truly Satan himself, right? And then also the king of the Babylon of today, of the papacy, the Romish church, the real king behind it is also Satan himself. Do you see that? The real forces behind it is Satan himself. Since Babylon is the spiritual intellectual forces of the natural world, then it's easy to see that the God behind that spirit that now works in the children of disobedience is none other than Satan. Now, who is the God of this world? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. We're going to our Bible study this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Who is the God of this world? The Bible says, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. So who is going against the gospel of Christ that people won't understand, that they'll be held in darkness? Who is the true God of this world? Who is it? It's Satan himself again. So Satan is also the king of Babylon and the king of this world. Why? Because when the Bible talks about Babylon, it's really talking about the world. Because Satan is the god of this world. He's the god of Babylon, the king, the true king of Babylon. Now, what are we not to be a part of? Turn to 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. 1 John, in your Bibles, chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. What are we not to be a part of, according to the Bible? What's the Bible says? The Bible says, love not the what? World. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. What is in the world and done out there is not what is of God, but it is of the devil himself, of Satan himself. We're not to love. Since Babylon is the spirit and the ways of the world, then when one leaves Babylon, one leaves the spirit and the traditions of the world, right? Amen? When one leaves Babylon, we leave it, we come out of it. We're leaving the ways how things are done out there, the traditions, how things have been passed on from your family down to you, to the next generation. We are to leave that because that's contrary to the word. Those are the ways of the world and is against the ways of God. Now, how else are we to be different? Three areas. One is that when we leave Babylon, we come out of the traditions and the way things are done out there that we're so used to. That's number one. What else? Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 8. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 to 8. Notice the Bible says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem each other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you. In other words, the natural mind is against God, right? And so God wants to give us a new mind, a completely different mind, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. The natural mind is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. And since Babylon is the forces of the natural mind, as we learn, then when one leaves Babylon, one also leaves the spiritual and intellectual forces of the natural mind. You're created a given a new mind in your head, and you're given new thoughts and new feelings. So not only do you leave the traditions out there in the world when you come to Christ, but also God gives you, lets the mind of Christ come into your mind, because if you were to follow your own thoughts and follow your own feelings, it would be totally contrary to the Word of God and God's thoughts and God's feelings, right? Amen? So God not only wants to leave the traditions, how your parents raise you. God wants you to leave that behind if it contradicts the Word of God this morning. Amen? But not only that, as you're going on in life and you're thinking, well, this is a good way to go because it just makes common sense. The natural mind is at odds against God. Are you following me? So God wants us to not only leave the tradition of the world, but he wants us in our own minds to let the mind of Christ, a new mind of the Word of God, saturated in the Word of God, to be your new leader in your life, new life with Jesus Christ. Amen? So two ways, right? But there's a third way also. God wants us to be different. What else are we to be not a part of? Acts chapter 26, verse 18. Acts 26, verse 18. What are we not to be a part of? Acts, as it goes, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. 26, verse 18. The Bible says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to what? What does it say? Light. And from the power of who? Satan unto who? God. So we are to turn from the dominion and realm of power of our former slave master, Satan, to our new loving master, Jesus Christ. Amen? So God wants us to turn totally different. So not only we leave the traditions and how things were done in our home and how life has been always to follow the Word of God, God wants to let the mind of Jesus Christ come to your mind and make the right decisions based upon your mind saturated in the Word of God. But also, God wants you to leave the dominion and power of the master, Satan, to be under the master, Jesus Christ. Amen? Let me tell you, being under as a slave for the master called Satan is not a good place to be, right? Amen? Many of you have been there, right? You do not want to go back to that master. He was a hard taskmaster, wasn't he? And so you want to get away as far as him as possible. He's the king of this world. He's the god of this world. He's the prince of darkness. He's the prince of this world. He makes everything look good, you being a slave to him. But really, it is really no fun to be a slave to Satan, right? It is probably one of the most miserable experiences. Sometimes people think that their life, how they're living, that's all there is to life. But you look from the outside, you look at their home life and their life, that's a pretty miserable lifestyle they're living, isn't it? Working with and living under the rulership and mastership of Jesus Christ is where true happiness is. And since Babylon is the realm and dominion of Satan, the king of Babylon, when one leaves Babylon, one also leaves the dominion and the power of Satan himself. Amen? So to leave Babylon is to leave all these different things, is to leave the natural mind into the mind of Jesus Christ. To leave Babylon is to leave the power and authority of the master of Satan to Jesus Christ. To leave Babylon is to leave the traditions of how things have been run in your life to follow the traditions of the Word of God this morning. Amen? Now, what is going to be proclaimed concerning Babylon? Turn to Revelation chapter 18, verse 1 to 4. Revelation chapter 18, verse 1 to 4. Now this is our message God has given to us as a people in the last days. Revelation chapter 18, verse 1 to 4. Notice what the Bible says here. Something is given to us as a people to tell others about Babylon. What is that message? Notice what the Bible says here. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power. And the earth was lightened with his glory. Notice what the Bible says. And he cried, how? Mightily, with a strong voice. These are powerful words in the last days, saying, what is the message that we're to bear? The Bible says, Babylon, the great, is fallen, and has become the habitations of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice, a second part message, from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. The title of the message this morning is, come out of her, my people. The message we're to give is that Babylon has reached its peak, its pinnacle of pride, remember, we study about. And it's just before pride goes before a fall, it's going to fall. And therefore, Babylon is falling. And God's people, come out of her, my people, is the message that God has given to us to proclaim. In the Bible, whenever Babylon attained to its height and glory and power, it was a sign that was near her fall. And it's at this time that God's people are urged to flee out of Babylon, the papacy, and all her daughter churches, so that they may not be partakers of her sins, and that they may not perish in her destruction. Now we learn that Babylon is represented as being in the world, the traditions to come out of the world. It's also to have the natural mind in your mind, and also that it is Satan, the king of Babylon. Therefore, to be out of Babylon is not so much concerned with one's physical location as it is based upon one's spiritual condition. Are you following me, beloved? In other words, to be out of Babylon is not so much dependent upon a place, but it depends upon one's condition of heart, mind, and spirit. Though out of the place is also important, but not as important. You see, as to location, Daniel and his three friends were in Babylon. Are you following me? That's what we're told, to be in Babylon, be in the world, but not what? Off the world. But as to condition, Daniel and his friends, in their hearts, mind, and spirit, were as far out as Babylon as the heavens are above the earth. Amen? And when Babylon fell, Daniel was, by location, still physically and bodily in the midst of Babylon. Do you remember that? But as to condition, he was so utterly, completely out of Babylon that when it fell, he was perfectly safe during his fall, right? Amen? And this is what it, and this and only this is what it truly means to be out of Babylon. Now, what does God do when he calls us out of something? Turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 13. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 13. I'm sorry, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23. Let's look at the true church of Christ. The Bible says here, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. Now, who's the firstborn according to the Bible? Jesus Christ. Very good. So, it's talking to the general assembly. Now, general assembly means universal. Another word for universal is, does anyone know? Catholic. Right? Catholic. So, right here in the Bible, we have the true Catholic Church. Do you see that, beloved? Amen? The true Catholic Church. So the Bible is saying here, to the Catholic Church of Christ, the true Church of Christ, which are written in where? In heaven. So the church books, so in this God's true church, there is actually church books that keeps track of one's membership. But the membership of this true Church of Christ is not located on this earth, in books on this earth, but according to the Bible, is located in up there in heaven, right? Amen? So you see that? So that's the true church of Christ here in the Bible. And then it says here, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. You see, beloved, when one is converted and born again, your name is then written in the books of heaven, and you're joined to the true and only church of Christ up there in heaven. Do you see that? You see, whenever God calls us out of something, He always calls us into something else. So when God calls us out of the world, He then calls us into the spiritual realm of His only true church, whose names are then written in heaven. Are you following me? He calls us out of something, and then He calls you into something else. Now, it is true that church members and pastors and evangelists today, they make the calling out of Babylon or the Roman Catholic Church much more a calling out of a place rather than a calling out of a condition. Is that not true? So much so that the message that come out of Babylon that is preached today is merely a physical change of one's church membership from one church, the Roman Catholic Church, to another church, the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And rather than a spiritual change that God is what is really requiring, they think that a simple change of membership is all that is needed for them to be written in the books of heaven. But we learn in the Bible that the true coming out of Babylon is not so dependent upon a physical change of changing, writing, inscribing your name simply upon a piece of paper on this earth and transferring it to a different location, maybe a few hundred miles away, and inscribing your name onto a different set of books, and all of a sudden you feel that everything's okay. I don't really need to do anything. I can just cruise on in into the kingdom of heaven. I've found God's remnant church. Everything must be fine. I've written in the books of heaven. I'm going to be sailing through, and I can cruise in my spiritual experience the rest of my life. And what this does is it brings a false security to make you think that everything is fine and okay when it really isn't. You see, beloved, when we tell people to come out of Babylon, and tell them that they're coming to this one, assure them that they are now out of Babylon and completely safe, we create a false security. And this is why I believe many Seventh-day Adventists today have been content with a mere form of a mere physical change rather than an inward transformation and change of character. For the many within the church today believe that Christianity consists of a merely outward change of location rather than an inward change of condition. We are in a wretched state without God. We need a transformed heart. We need a new life. We need to be born again by the word of God this morning. A mere external writing of names upon pieces of paper traveled 100 miles away does not give you a new born again experience, beloved, this morning. Amen? What you need is the Word of God. What you need is Jesus Christ in your life to transform and to change my life and your life here this morning. Now, the Seventh-day Adventist Church is not Babylon, and whoever teaches this doctrine is not sent by God. But while there are many within our church who are faithful in preaching that the Church of Rome is Babylon, they often fail when they urgently call people out of that church and into another one, while at the same time allowing Babylonian principles to enter into their church, beloved. You see, it's ridiculous for people to look at churches and to see a church and to look at a church and to watch this one church calling people to come out of the Church of Rome and then say, come into here, while at the same time, they're patterning itself in principle, spirit, and practice, just like the Roman church. And it is pure deceit, beloved, to allow sin to run rampant within our churches, just like all the other churches, beloved, this morning. And then to call people from all the other churches and into this one. This is the very nothing short of the very trickery and confusion of Babylon itself. And that's what is very important, beloved, this morning, that we sigh and cry with God to remove the principles and the forces of Babylon from our churches and from my life and from your life here this morning. Amen? How can we be preaching, come out of Babylon, when we are implementing and using and living the very principle that Babylon is using in other churches, beloved? It's totally foolishness and confusion what Babylon is all about. It's easy to pride ourselves that we are God's remnant church. I know it is. It's easy to say that things are well and things are going well because we have the truth and no one else has. It's easy to think that way, and it's more deceitful to us, and the king of Babylon is happy in the direction we're headed. God is calling his people. He said, come out of her, my people. Come out of her, my people. Come out of the Babylon. Not only in the physical Babylon, yes, it's important to come out of her, but more importantly, come out of the spiritual Babylon within your own mind, within your thoughts, within your own feelings. Receive a new heart. Be born again through the word of God. Be transformed by the power and the love and the dominion of the mastership of Jesus Christ this morning. Amen? So let it be repeated and repeated forever that to be out of Babylon is not only dependent upon location, but is also dependent more so upon the condition of the heart, the mind, the spirit, and of the will and the thought and the purposes of God in your life. Amen? God wants us to be transformed, to be changed. The call of God for his people today is to come out of Babylon. For this is the call of Revelation 18. It's a call to come out of the Babylonian traditions of the world and into the heavenly ways above. This call is a call to come out of the Babylonian desires of the sinful flesh and into the heavenly mind of our Savior. This call is a call to come out of the dominion and the power and the realm of Satan and into the mastership of Jesus Christ. For to come out of Babylon simply means that one will leave the natural desires of the heart by receiving a new heart, by being born again this morning. Amen? And when one looks at the cross of Calvary, one will desire to be born again. For it was at the cross of Calvary that the true King was revealed, Jesus Christ. It was at the cross of Calvary that the King of Kings' unselfishness was seen. It was at the cross of Calvary that the lies of the prince of this world, the king of Babylon, was uncovered. It was at the cross of the Calvary that the whole universe witnessed the supremacy of God's love in contrast to the selfishness of the king of Babylon, Satan. And when the whole universe, and when you see it, and I see this morning, we would rather serve the king of love rather than the king of Babylon hatred this morning. Amen? When the Bible reveals the beautiful character of God's love this morning, how can we not choose to serve Jesus Christ this morning? Amen? How can we not? It's so evident to see his love for you, his patience with you. You know how patient God has been to you this week? You know how merciful he's been to you? To me this morning? Maybe I wouldn't have been here. Who knows the accidents that have been avoided on the way to church, right? Who knows in a plane ride over that it could have went down? Who knows that maybe a spouse wouldn't have woke up this morning? Who would have known but by the mercies and the tender love of God that you and I are here this morning? Amen? And I thank God for his mercy. I thank God for his love for me this morning and his love for you this morning, every single one of you this morning. Amen? He loves every single one of you here this morning. Though you may not love him, he loves you tremendously this morning. Amen? Every single one of you. And when you see the love of this king out there, two kings, this king of unconditional, unselfish love, when you see this love, contrasted to the king of Babylon, the oppressor, the cruel king, when you see the contrast, your heart, your thoughts and your feelings, your character will choose the right one. So Satan tells lies about the character of God. He says God is a certain way, and he makes you to believe that God is not truly a God of love. But if you were to truly see this morning, for just a second, and imagine his beautiful character, you will fall in love with him and serve him with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength this morning. Amen? Why don't we serve God this morning with all of our hearts, mind, soul, and strength? This morning, if you'd rather serve the king of love rather than the king of hatred this morning, then why don't you make a commitment to God by raising your hand with me this morning? Amen. This morning, our closing hymn this morning is 289 in your hymnals. The Savior is waiting for you to open your heart to him this morning. Why don't we open our hearts to him this morning as we sing 289?